Have you ever watched an apocalyptic sci-fi movie and wondered, could any of this really happen? I'm Carrie Bechet, and on Hypothetical, we explore what-if questions two ways, through speculative science fiction and through insight from the world's most brilliant scientists. And spoiler alert, your favorite sci-fi movies aren't nearly as far-fetched as you may think. Time travel with me into our possible futures on Hypothetical. New episodes every Tuesday, available on all podcast apps. That's Hypothetical, Hyperthetical.
Fire Team Chat, IGN's Destiny Show. Thank you so much for joining us. Joining me in the studio today is CJ Gibson.
I'm back.
Sean Finnegan.
I am also back.
No chomps? All right. And Stephen Rue.
Chomp, chomp.
All right. There we go. Hey. On today's show, we are going to talk a little bit about the Dawning event that is going on right now, but mostly we're going to talk about Black Armory, how we feel about it, my review, etc. So let's get right into it with one of the most common comments. This feels early, and I saw this across the board from everybody, and I'm in a bit of a tough spot. I feel like I see what the content is. Mm-hmm. It's this grind weapons, get them, and then go into the forge, power them up, and get the drop, right? And then you do it again, you do it again, you do it again, and it's very repetitive. And for those that are saying that my review feels early, IGN does have a policy where we can re-review something should our opinions changed drastically by the end of it. Mm-hmm. So, yes, I put a 5.5 on Black Armory, and there's a few reasons for that. Basically, quest design is the main crux of my argument about why it is so poor, and the raid launching with bugs that Bungie has now said they don't even think they can replicate or squash. Basically, you have infinite res tokens for the final encounter, making it easier than intended and taking away that feeling of victory that you would normally feel when you defeat an incredibly challenging encounter. So I wanted to talk to you guys about that, about your thoughts about Black Armory so far. How are you feeling about it? We're in it now. We have two of the forges unlocked. Mm-hmm. We've gotten several of the weapons at this point. You kind of get the loop, right? CJ, you actually haven't unlocked the Go Phantom Forge yet. What happened there?
No, I was just chilling in Nessus for a little bit, admiring the view with about five other people doing the same thing. Yeah. And I'm just like, you better not kill that thing before I do.
To unlock the Go Phantom Forge, players must defeat a high-value target on Nessus for a specific quest step. Currently, only the player who lands the finishing blow is credited with defeating the enemy. We are currently developing a fix for a future update. I think if you're launching an expansion that you should have had that figured out and stop tying quests to RNG high-value targets.
Whoa.
Or public events that have to be made heroic.
Yeah, to feel like you're playing against people in a shared world open space like that, that's not cool. Like, it is one of those things where you can't even get your teammates in to help you because now they're your enemies and they're supposed to be your allies.
I mean, but you guys don't know the reason for that. It's not like they did it on purpose.
No.
Or it's like they just put it in there and then forgot to playtest. It's most likely a bug of some sort that snuck its way in there.
But it says
that. This is the third time.
In the comments, though.
This is the third time that they have tied a quest step to an RNG event.
No, but I'm talking about the whole like last hit thing mechanic.
That's correct. My issue, like, that is also part of the problem. But in addition, they've done this with the Aether Public event on Tangled Shore, which is how you got into the Dreaming City, and the Whisper quest, where you got Cabal Drill for an entire weekend before they're like, oh, we kind of screwed that up. Let's fix it.
Don't forget Sleeper Simulant Destiny 1.
Mm. What was that one?
You had to wait for the public event, the one where the war set drops.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right, right.
It never dropped.
Yeah. So it's just like, learn your lesson?
It's so funny because
you keep doing that.
All these things that we talk about, it's like, it is those painful memories that kind of bring us together in those moments. I'm not saying I like it. I very much hung out in Nessus last night for 30 or 40 minutes and didn't get it and still don't have the forge part
open. Took me an hour.
Yeah, I know. Steven was, we were talking online while he was doing it, and he got it about 40
minutes. Hey, did you start your alts yet? Because you got to do it again.
No, I know. And so those are the things, yeah, where it should pervasive. Yeah. It should be pervasive over multiple characters. And I've seen that comment as well. People are saying, oh, yeah, it should be account-based, not individual characters. Mm-hmm. And that raises a good point with, like, light level increases and all that stuff. Like, yeah, I mean, they've added those functionalities at a later time, and it always feels like because of these kind of feedback situations. Yeah. So.
I haven't heard too much from you guys. What do you think about the content now that you've gone through it a few times? Are you still as excited about it?
I mean, I don't know that I was ever very excited about it, but I think people are being a little too hard on it. And this is actually a very funny thing because I don't envy the position that you're in. Like, IGN has a responsibility as a whole to provide consumers and players with our thoughts and our review of something ahead of its release, or as best we can, as soon as it's after released. That said, you know, it's a tough spot to be in because you have to give your opinion on something that you haven't seen entirely what it's made of yet. And yeah. Sure, you have a great sense of it, but like it's tough to be able to render a verdict about a movie after only having watched the first scene.
And full disclosure, you and I also have been away and have not yet done the raid. Like,
yeah, I haven't done the raid yet. Yeah. So,
and I have heard that feedback. I feel pretty confident that the review number is going to stick based on what we've seen. I don't think the one exotic quest, which will be the wholly unique thing that will come in January, is going to drastically change the overall concept of what Black Armory has been.
You may be right, but my point is that like Destiny 2 pre Black Armory, I thought was in a really good spot. The activities I was doing regularly are fun and varied enough to where I'm having a good time with it. And Black Armory just facilitates more of doing those activities, plus a little bit more of these forges to get new weapons. So as a whole, that doesn't seem all that bad to me. Like, it doesn't seem great. It's not exactly what I would have wanted, but I'm also not really vibing with the people out there who are voicing like major discontent with it.
Mm-hmm. Well, now you mentioned the movie thing. I was reading a bunch of comments. It was weird to actually not be on the show and actually see those comments. A series.
You wouldn't review episode one of The Walking Dead. I'm like, yeah, we do that. We did that actually.
Yeah. And so I think that's the comparison I was going to say. It's like, in a sense, they've always done DLCs where, yeah, here's all the content in one swoop. And the way that this is it's not really a movie. It's almost like a TV series. Now, you wouldn't give a whole review on a TV series maybe and say, oh, based on just this first week, I'm going to say the TV series is terrible. That is, I think, what the difference is with the way that this content's being presented versus a movie.
And right? I definitely hear what people are saying about that sort of rollout strategy, which is why I do remind people that if this content is drastic enough that I need to go back and do a re-review, I will do that.
Yeah.
I feel pretty strongly that that's not going to happen. We know what the next forge is. Now it is the same mechanic. It's Vex. You kill Vex, throw balls into the forge.
But we've also seen this happen at IGN before where with how different games are coming out and how big the specific components are coming out, we have changed our review structure or our review approach.
Yeah.
So the most current example is Call of Duty, right? Yeah. We individually reviewed three different parts of it and then had a collective score. Maybe a game like Destiny and a new distribution, like a new content distribution platform necessitates something like that. I don't know, but that's something like you and the editorial team have to figure out with Dan.
Yeah.
Again, it just goes back to my point, which is like, you're in a tough spot, so it's hard for me to sit here and be like, you're wrong or I'm right, because I just don't know that that's the case.
I've thought a lot about it, a lot of angry people out there, the fact that we put a score on it. And I think if we just labeled review in progress at the beginning and then put out a final review in January but scored the review in progress, if it's similar to Black Armory, if the next one comes out, which doesn't have a raid, by the way, and I'm just like, I can't score this. Like, this is too weird.
I mean, we do that, right? Don't we? We do score reviews in progress.
Yes,
right?
We do. Yeah. We do. If I had to score it now, 5.5.
The other thing that's difficult, too, is that, I mean, they talk about surprise and delight and all these things, and I do believe them when they want to do that.
Let's look at the roadmap.
Well, but that's
four forges and an exotic quest.
But that but that goes with my point. It's like, you're right. So if we look at that and go, okay, this is everything that's going to be, like, it would be the equivalent of honestly going into a movie going, hey, you know what, please tell me how the movie ends. I want to know that, like, you know, Darth Vader is his father. Like,
what? I don't think that's an accurate or a good comparison.
Well, but here's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Do you want to know everything that's coming out in the next 9 months in the game?
I mean, they've put it all here on this roadmap.
No, I don't think that they have.
And this, I'm not reviewing the next 9 months. And that's another thing I hear a lot. I'm reviewing Black Armory, and Black Armory is grindy and poor quest design, in my opinion.
Right. But it's, again, the way that they're staggering out the content, in theory, if that goes until February, you don't think there's going to be anything that's not on this, like, you know, reveal calendar that's a surprise that they might just do and throw out there?
So they've already shown some of the secrets and stuff that they have. They have that box that you can put together.
And those are really cool.
Those are neat. Those are actually one of my positives.
Yeah.
But overall, as a package, the main gameplay loop is grind out a weapon, go power it up in the forge, and get it.
Yeah.
And the forge is okay. It's just okay. It's just okay.
I mean,
and the raid is good. It has that map mechanic, but it's buggy and it detracts from your overall victory.
No, I hear you. I don't debate that. I think what I'm saying is we're in this position where we always want to know more. We always want to know how, why, when. And it does kind of take the magic out of some of those things. Like, again, if you went to a movie and knew exactly what it was going to be, like, I mean, some people do go to movies based on books and then like it, but then they have an expectation like, oh, the book was better. I hated the movie.
I'm glad you brought that up, CJ, because in June, their marketing tone wasn't solidified yet, and they were saying some stuff that was very strange.
Well, that's fair.
To give you more of what you want more often, it's about chasing the power and the gear. Endgame challenges was one thing on the list, but in addition, they said new weapons, armor, and vanity rewards, new and returning exotics, new pinnacle activities, new triumph records to collect, new lore to discover.
Yeah.
And it's only endgame activities. And that is the crux of the problem. They sold a piece of content without defining what it was clearly, and a lot of people are feeling burned now. Now, user Nick Manillo says, I just wish someone would call Destin on his hypocrisy. So when Last Wish launched and he was able to do it day one, but 90% couldn't, he basically said, get good. That was Sean. Now that he can't do the content day one, it's terrible design.
Okay.
One, I did do the content day one. I had to for the review. And two, that is a specific raid conversation, which is not what I'm talking about for Black Armory.
Well, it's also,
I think the Black Armory, let me just finish quick. Black Armory should be a pinnacle level challenge, but the whole of Black Armory locking out people who paid for it based on incomplete information that Bungie was giving is confusing for them. And Gambit was also labeled as an endgame activity, and you can play that at any level.
Yeah.
So that's why it's weird.
I also don't think I don't actually think what he's saying here applies. The difference was that the raid released after a certain amount of time, and during that time, players could be ready for it.
Yeah.
The difference here was Black Armory released, and no player could be ready because you needed to be 6'10".
Yeah.
So that's the difference. It's like, it's not really about the whole get good thing, which I think applies.
Yeah.
You do need to
naturally,
get good.
Naturally.
I don't think that that applies to this specific situation because there was that gap in between 600 and 610 where players had to grind the stuff they were already doing before to get to the point where they could do the Black Armory content. Whereas the difference was with you had a time period before the raid at which you could prepare to get ready for it.
Yeah.
And then go in on day
one. And you did again this time, and I'm actually okay with that. I was okay. Well, I kind of starting to lean more towards Fran, wishing it was
having
on a Saturday.
Longer, yes.
Well, even if it was just launching on a Saturday instead of on a Friday.
I know, me too. And it's funny that as we're saying that, I felt the same way because I was not available during the week. But then also the fact that, you know, I know now that they're pacing it out a little bit longer, I would like to have a longer lead up time to the raid. Or other people said, hey, wouldn't it be cool if the raid was just available day one at a certain level, and then you had a hard mode that was available later that had a certain amount of power that you had to do the raid to get to that higher power cap.
Yeah. So what else do we have here? Polygon back in June said these additions will include new endgame activities, new weapons, armor, and vanity items to collect, new and returning exotics, new pinnacle activities, new triumph records to collect, and new in-game lore to discover, according to Bungie. And then new Fords was revealed on Nessus. Oh, yeah, I already called that out. A-Rex, congrats on the exclusive, by the way. That was pretty cool.
Nice.
See him hanging out with Bungie. Yeah. But, yeah, so my main problem, and I think the community's main problem, is this was marketed as, yes, it's an annual pass. Everyone's going to have something to do. Nope, that is not the case. If you're not 600, don't even buy it because you can't really do anything within Black Armor.
I mean, well, you can probably play Forsaken still and get to that point.
Yes.
That's what I know what you mean.
Yeah, and my review of Black Armory also doesn't detract from how good Forsaken is. Forsaken is still a 9 in my mind. I love how they've handled Forsaken. I still really, really enjoy Forsaken.
See, that blows my mind. It's like, how do you even separate them? They're the same. It's all one thing.
But this is what Duggan keeps saying. He's like, I don't understand how they constantly go back and forth between, like, this is like a mid-tier DLC versus this is a one-year DLC. Yeah. And that's the reason why he kept bouncing out in between them, because he's like, I want every DLC to be like Forsaken. We obviously know that that's not practically enough. Realistic.
So I think if we all change our mindset, and I haven't heard much from you, Steven, so I'll ask you about this. Mm-hmm. This is not a traditional content drop.
Yeah.
Like, we all know it's not Curse of Osiris. Mm-hmm. It is not Warmind. This is basically our subscription fee.
It is.
Bungie needs to make money somehow, and this is their solution. I think it was marketed poorly. I think they could have been clearer with their messaging earlier on. They were so cagey about it. I think that's because they didn't even really know what they were going to launch yet. Mm-hmm. And then once they solidified that it would be endgame content, they're like, here it is. It's endgame content. And that marketing didn't start until November, and then the content dropped two weeks later.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think they should have just solidified the messaging better. How do you feel about Black Armory and the gameplay loop and everything, Steven?
I think we do at this point. It looks like they're going to do like this trickle content approach now. And we have to stop thinking it as new content, like new DLC. Because in the past, when you get new DLC, almost every player can play it instantly. Now it's an add-on to the game we already have, and it's evolving the game. So if you look at Black Armory in a vacuum, you're right, it's not that good. Mm-hmm. You get four forges that are the same. You kill stuff and you throw balls and that's it.
We know three are the same for sure.
Yeah. We don't know what the lab is yet, but it's like you said, the exotic quest and the lab is not going to be enough to change your 5.5 review. The forge is the same. The quests are not fun. And if you look at it in a vacuum, plus the raid, which doesn't even make my top five raids, it's not a good DLC, right? But if you think of it as an activity adding on to what we already have, it makes Destiny 2 a lot better. Like, I sign on and there's so much stuff to do. Like, there's two raids you can do. There's all the milestones. Plus, now I get to grind specific weapons. Like, before, when people used to grind like Omnigul or whatever for Grasp, you either would get the Bond or you get a Grasp. And you'd have to just melt through the strike. Now you get to choose which frame you want, and you're working toward that specific weapon, and you can do it over and over and over again until you get that role you got. I like that gameplay loop. Mm-hmm. So if you look at Black Armory as just an add-on to Destiny 2, I think it's great. But if you look at it just as Black Armory in a vacuum, you're right. It's 5.5.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's basically where I'm coming out from it. But I do see a lot of people out there having fun, and I don't think you should let my review detract from that. Like, I'm not going to suddenly agree with you. You're right, 10 out of 10.
That's not going to happen.
You know, like, I've never done that. I'll always just give
people
my honest opinion.
People always be really angry about reviews.
Yeah, right?
Exactly. So it's an unwritten law of the internet.
Yeah, so it's totally fine. Like, keep having fun with Black Armory. I'm still going to be playing Destiny.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going anywhere. I played for like 5 hours last night grinding out the Dawning quest.
Yeah. Mm.
And Dawning is really cute. If you haven't visited the tower yet, it's all covered in snow, and you bake recipes for people around the tower, and you deliver these packages. Did you guys get your avalanche?
Not yet.
No.
Machine gun? No? Yeah. Steven and I did.
Yeah, sorry. I did. I haven't used it yet.
It's pretty fun. I got a decent roll on my first drop, so I don't really need to grind out anymore.
Got hit fire grip.
yeah.
On a machine. Wow.
And it's much better in comparison to last year's Dawning. I mean, if we actually remember Sean.
What was last year's? I don't even remember.
Well,
I don't even remember.
Exactly. It was just basically Dawning engrams, and everything was tied behind Eververse. And that was, it was a bunch of stuff that piled into your inventory, and then you weren't sure how to actually get anything. And so at least now the oven baking and all the little supplies, they don't take space in your inventory. Yeah. At least the implementation.
Well, they do in your consumables when you got to deliver them. Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah. But I mean, for the most part, as you're getting each of the materials, at least they're all kind of in the submenu of the oven and not taking up inventory space for hoarders like myself. That'd have been a problem.
Are a hoarder.
I am. Yeah, very much so.
I finally went through and deleted all my year one gear because I'm like, can I pull it out of the thing?
Took me
An
hour.
I do have I have Arc on my Uriels, and I think it's Solar out of the book,
but you're
or
never
vice versa.
Use
Steven.
I might, Steven.
Exactly.
I might.
You.
I kept my old raid gear.
Yeah.
Even if it's crap.
Yeah, I just got rid of it.
You can pull that from your collections.
I honestly went from having
masterworked and like shaded.
I went from having 300 bright dust to like 1,000 because Steven made me delete all the ghosts.
You guys
want to
know something interesting? I don't know if you guys know about this, but like every time new content drops, lore tabs drop, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And shout out to the lore team. They're fantastic. Like, yeah, dude, they could make a movie about this stuff. But anyway, did you know?
They should.
They sure could.
Yeah. Or better yet.
They could put, make like it
in the game.
They could make it, put it in the game.
Like, make it
and then make that
in the
an expansion.
Like, what if the lore
like
tabs.
Like Season of the Drifter.
What if the lore tabs were like cinematics? I mean, I know that that's like
even
a tall
order.
Even
in-game cinematics.
But that'd be
I
really
mean, that
cool.
would be amazing. But did you know Mara Sov and Shax hook up?
What?
Which is crazy.
Shax is a baller, dude.
Destiny.
Everyone's always been saying this. Exactly. Shax is
Destiny
a baller.
Destiny is such a like a E for everyone kind of game. And then there's literally a lore tab about like them hooking up.
It's so cool.
Yeah.
I gotta go find that,
man.
Yeah, I do want to give one shout out to the commenters. Thank you so much for saying Sean sucks repeatedly in the comments. Really appreciate it.
Oh yeah, can we talk a little bit about this? I thought it was so
reversed.
I thought it was so interesting that on the last episode there were a good number of comments calling me the shill.
It's weird.
Like
I never thought I'd see the day.
This indicates to me very clearly that most people don't watch regularly because you would know if you watch the show regularly. I am the hater.
Yeah.
Everyone always gets on me for being the cynic.
I wasn't there, so thank you. It is weird, but there's
that's
a lot of
so funny.
There's a lot of new people in the comments. So for all the new folks that are now on the show, and you see four of us, typically I guess, well, I don't know, maybe I'm the shill, but it was weird to see you actually be labeled that, especially because I think you were,
God forbid, I have some perspective.
Well,
and
but
like,
it really seemed like at all he's on the Bungie Christmas list. Like it was really weird to see, and I saw both sides, but I did agree with you to say they actually said this. Like, what else could they really have done? And it sounds like you're saying to have the messaging earlier.
Yeah.
Would have been nice. And last
well,
thing.
There's one more thing.
So last thing. Yeah. And no new strikes, no new PvP maps. And like some of the treatment that even Steven was saying about like the menu change and all that stuff. That does go a long way when all you have is grindy, same type content. Yeah. So if they had done even that, I think it would have been a little bit better received.
I don't understand. I really feel like it was phoned in. And I feel that way because the quest design is just so similar across the board for every weapons. Go get precision kills with hand cannons. Go do it again. Go do it again. Go get radiance. You know.
But
and it's that every weapon
to counter argue.
Yeah.
When was the last time we actually had like a cool quest?
You're correct.
Like,
and
Destiny's just always been like that.
You're correct.
King.
And I don't think that's good enough.
Calcified fragments.
No, I agree with you. I don't think it's good enough at all.
Yeah.
But like at this point, I'm not even surprised when like when
I'm not surprised, but I'm
we just fly somewhere, kill specific things, get that thing, go back to the tower, get the thing. It's always been like that.
I mean, I also don't know. Okay, like
there's so many things that
I'm
they
trying
can
to
do.
Put my head
oh, yeah, they
in
could.
The. I'm trying to put my. I'm trying to get in the head of like if I was a Bungie quest designer and I had to come up with interesting quests.
Yeah.
But all of you only have let's call it 10 activities in the game.
Yeah.
Like how really. Like, how creative can you actually get?
I came up with 5.
No matter what, your quests are going to have to do the same things, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't always have to shoot somebody. You could go clear 3 lost sectors, which they kind of did with the spider bounty.
Yeah,
they like reworked the lost sectors, right? And gave you a little bit of context about spider, but just a little bit.
My point is no matter.
Like another paragraph.
My point is no matter what you have the players do, there's always that chance of them being like, but I've already done this. Well, yeah, guess what? We all already done this.
Yeah.
Like, there's only a certain amount of things to do in the game.
Calcified Fragments probably was, I think, one of the better quests because it had multiple things that you could get along with the progression of it. So you got different things depending on where you were at. Like it went to 50, but then if you got 30, you got something. If you got a specific one, you got something. If you got to 40, something else opened up. Like it was really well done.
No, that was good, but like what that has in common, though, is it came with Taken King, which was the big DLC.
Right.
And like this problem with the high-value target on Nessus, this could easily be addressed. Just spawn a high-value target during the daily story missions. Just a random high-value target that just spawns and you kill it.
I will
do
say
that
waiting, waiting around in the open world has never been a good idea.
Yeah, and like the problem there is like you're competing with all the other guardians in the space. They're probably going to address it, but I just don't know how you launch a piece of content and have a quest step in that is this frustrating to deal with.
It makes your guardians feel like enemies. It's crazy. I saw 4 dudes all hovering around there, and I'm just eyeing them going like, if you take this from me.
Yeah. in local, I'm just like, you couldn't wait like 2 seconds, but yeah. I didn't realize you had to get the last.
I honestly kind of like that dynamic. Like I've been on that.
You
gamut.
Like that dynamic?
No,
I like that it's different. No. Yeah. Not the idea of everyone competing for something. Yeah, not yeah. that, but this idea that like not all Guardians are on your side.
See,
narratively, yeah. I think that's an interesting idea.
Okay.
Cause like, just like I've been on that Gambit grind recently because I'm very, very close to Dredgen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I've been listening to the Drifter talk a lot.
Yeah.
And
he's awesome.
Dude, he says some really interesting stuff. Like he said something the other day, which I'm sure it's been in there for a while, but it's the first time I heard it. Cause I'm paying attention, but he said something like, no one hated Fallen more than, Saint 14. People say he's dead, but I don't buy that.
Yeah.
I was like,
I've heard that.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Like, what if, exactly. Like
alternate reality there.
But this idea that like the Drifter has these stories and these people and these like allies and enemies that like, you know, some of them are Guardians and all that. Like that's kind of cool to me. Right.
Yeah.
I wish they would explore stuff like that more in DLCs like Black Armory or looking forward. We have Joker's Wild next. It would be great to see more of that dynamic, even if it's delivered via a ghost while you're doing the poorly designed grind, you know, like just something like that. Like a lot of the spider stuff is just spider. You go to spider. He kind of gives you this narrative beat, right? Then you go in the wild and he's like, it's my brother. Spider's awesome.
That's a really good impression.
That is a pretty good
one. Sounds just like him.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so like I was like, oh, my God, I'm actually interested in a story about this fallen mob boss. That's mm-hmm. so cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I was excited by that, but then it just kind of doesn't really go anywhere.
So waiting around, we didn't talk about the fact that the Forge is matchmaking, which is good.
That's another positive.
That's a positive.
And now that it's been out for a few
weeks. What is the experience positive? I haven't match made with it yet. I'm actually at
I literally did matchmaking all night last night, and I failed once because there were only two of us, but I only failed by like that much. We were so close.
See, I don't mind that.
I will say I'm starting to see players just AFK now.
Really?
Before it was like everyone was at a low light, so you had to work together because you wanted to complete it. But I have started noticing a lot of players just AFKing, and then when it's the final round, they just, now you're moving.
Yeah.
If you AFK in something like Gambit or like that,
well, kicks you out.
Not only do I, well, I mean, yeah, but people like, you know, they'll play
but you know, there's
a keyboard or
something. You know, on PC, there's a macro AFK now.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
That's exactly the thing. Yeah, there's stuff like that. Yeah. If you're that player, I write your name down in a book. I'm not joking. I have a list.
Report.
Like, not only do you get reported, but I remember your name. It's written down.
And then he calls up Deej.
Yeah.
Oh.
Sean, like, has it there. He's like, let me look.
Yeah, and then
he's
And then I call Bungie via my Bungie apologist red phone line.
Christmas line.
Bungie, this is Sean Finnegan.
Yeah. I ran into, that.
Hypnotoad. Drugs are great.
Just for clarity, we're joking.
69.
I like where it's going.
Thanks for being
curious. I like matchmaking with the high value target quest. I think if that was going to be a quest, I think what would be better to matchmake it like that is, and then you're playing against the people that you're match made with. Mm-hmm. So you might not
like
know
a Gambit
them.
Quest.
Yeah, or something. So then you are into this instance where
what if they actually utilize Gambit for one of
or
the
something
quests.
Like that
or. Yeah. Or Lost Sectors a little bit more than that one time they do for Spider. Or get crit shots during a public event. I listed like five that I came up with in like 10 minutes.
Yeah, but don't you think crit shots during public events
is
like
kind of
the same.
Thing. Yeah, it's all the same.
But it's a different thing. Like instead of just go shoot stuff in the face, which is literally all the quests are, that you either do in a Lost Sector or you go to the raid on Nessus. And that's
it. Let's back it up a sec. All of Destiny is just shoot something.
Shoots up.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's
throw a ball.
Or if they're the Vex, you shoot them in the stomach. But
to play devil's advocate, though, I do agree the quest sucks. Like it's not imaginative at all or whatever. But like before, like I was thinking, like if you wanted to grind for the EP shoddy, you're welcome, CJ. If you wanted to grind for the EP shoddy, right?
CJ still doesn't have it.
No, I just got it a few nights ago.
Oh, really?
23 runs it took me.
It was 2 a.m.
A year late.
Exactly.
Actually, I guess
I got to tell this story before I go on.
Go ahead.
Point. It's 2 a.m. I don't know why we're up at 2 a.m. It's 2 a.m.
Because we're playing Destiny.
And me and Teddy are like, CJ, you still don't have the EP shoddy.
Like, and they're like, how many times you ran it? Like, probably 5. And I'm like, no, like 20.
No, you said 60, and we said on the emblem.
Whatever.
But anyway, we grinded out for him, and he got it. But anyway, back to my point. If you wanted to grind for the EP shoddy, you couldn't because the escalation protocol isn't match made, right?
Yeah.
So like, if you're the only guardian in that instance, and you start it, and like, other guardians go into your instance, but they don't help you out. Like, you can't grind for the EP shoddy, right?
Yeah.
But now it's like you do that boring quest. It is boring, but it's fast. Like, you get like 20
kills.
Except
for the Nessus part.
No, well, after you get the frame unlocked and you want to do it again, it's just 20 kills and then 20 radiant seeds and then that's it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if I wanted to grind for the sniper rifle, I could just keep doing that all day if I wanted. Which is nice because it's match made, the quest is easy,
yeah.
And I can work toward that sniper rifle. And you can literally do that all day. When you wanted like the escalation protocol shotgun, you couldn't, right? You'd need a team, you'd need other guardians, and that was frustrating. So, like, I sound like the shill now, but it is, they are progressing if you think about it.
I don't like that they take away your, ticket that you need to buy the gold frames.
Oh, the ballistic log?
Yeah, the ballistic log goes away every week.
Okay, so there's a glitch where you can't do, you're supposed to be able to, you can only have two max, and people wanted it at two at the same time. Mm-hmm. Essentially, you're cutting your playing time in half.
Yeah.
You have to do it one at a time now. So they said that's a bug. And then after every reset, people wanted to stack them up, but they disappeared.
Yeah.
But they said that was a bug too. I don't know if it was a bug or if that's intentional play design, because if you think about it, they're forcing you to play then instead of stacking up. But I don't know. I kind of like it. Like I said before, if you look at it in a vacuum, like, oh, this new DLC, we got this. We throw balls at stuff. Yeah, it sucks. But now that if you think about Destiny 2 as a whole, it's better.
Well, we're all playing a lot still. And so, I mean, when you think about that, like, I know what you're saying within the context of review. This is not a DLC that's going to bring people in. Absolutely not. You have to be at 600 to play most of it. So that's a huge issue, I think, overall.
I'd say mostly all, like, the actual content of Forges, I think you need to be
605. And, well, they initially 610.
Yeah, they lowered it down, right?
Yeah.
I don't think any of these seasons are going to bring players in, right?
No, but that's
the
thing.
Next season will be 700 for Joker's Wild. They're going to raise it by 50 a season, right?
Yeah, like, I don't think these seasons are supposed to bring players in, right?
Well, but to me, it's like, that is, I think, their challenge, right? Is that they want to keep the hardcore. And I mean, we've said this on the show, and especially Sean, you know, they only focus on the hardcore. A lot of people in the comment section are going, hey, man, okay, they only focus on the hardcore, and now I'm out. So there's definitely this fine line that they are constantly balancing and tuning the game to try to appease everybody. And I think I always feel like I'm saying this, oh, it's really hard for them. But really, what is it? Because this is now the hardcore, and people still are not happy. And so we're staying and playing.
You can't.
But let's be clear, the hardcore will never be happy.
So, but again, so that's the point. Like, how do you actually make a game that appeases everybody?
You don't.
It is impossible.
You don't.
So
you can't.
I appreciate what this is.
Overwatch.
As a Destiny player, I am playing it and actually am enjoying it. Do I wish things would be different? Yes, but I know that that's probably going to be happening with whatever March is, because they'll fix whatever we didn't get in this DLC and implement it probably for the next one.
And someday you'll try out that second Forge.
Hey, I haven't gotten to the
second
Forge
in a couple
either.
Weeks.
I've been gone a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Quick question, Destin. I know these guys haven't done the raid, but since this is the FTC episode right after the raid, what is your ranking of all the raids in Destiny?
Curious. This one's down there. I like
up there or down there?
Like lower, bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I like the Sparrow section and I like the end boss section without spoiling it for these guys. Mm-hmm. But people are tearing through it now in like 14 minutes.
I think that's world record right now, 14 minutes.
Yeah.
I saw that.
So give me your ranking.
Oh, dude. Like, what do we have? Like, all of Destiny?
Yeah, all of Destiny.
Off the top of my head?
Top three. We did this at Garden.
You guys can give me a ranking.
This is not
too,
in my top three. This is not in my top three. I think Vault of Glass still for that initial experience and like the cadence of releases, and then maybe Taken King and then Wrath.
I think Wrath is my number one.
Yeah.
Then Vault.
I think Wrath is mine too, yeah.
Yeah. Wrath, Vault, King's Fall, Eater of Worlds.
I liked Eater of Worlds.
Yeah,
I like
Eater of Worlds. And then I have this one. And then I have
Spire,
and then I have Crota.
Oh, see, I got a soft spot.
I actually like Crota, but I understand why people don't like it.
I don't like raids. Well, I don't like Spire.
I don't like raids.
Whoa.
It's like you got to take down a shield and then make him kneel, and then you got to hit him with
Spore. I don't like.
It's kind of cool.
I didn't like Crota because one person is doing something during the boss fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that, though, because it gives a sense of ownership and responsibility. And it's like when you sucked at that sword.
You like it because you're a sword person.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I love being that sword guy.
I don't know. I didn't really like Crota, and I didn't like Spire because to me, Spire didn't feel like I was killing things. I was throwing balls at things.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Like even from encounter one, you're just throwing balls.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
that's why I didn't like that one. Yeah, vault number one. For me, it goes back and forth.
Oh, I didn't even say Last Wish. Last Wish is above Oryx for me.
I like all kinds of mechanics in Last Wish.
Last Wish, Oryx.
Yeah, wow. I like mechanics in Last Wish, but as a whole, I don't know. It just doesn't seem as impactful as obviously those first few raids of Destiny 1.
Oh, I forgot about Last Wish. Yeah.
Yeah.
That might be
fourth. I think because it takes time, obviously, for those things to set in.
Yeah. So, what's yours, Sean?
I mean, mine's very similar to yours. I think depending on the day, it's either Vault of Glass or Wrath of the Machine. I love King's Fall as well, so that's probably third.
Last Wish.
Probably Last Wish right then.
Fourth, okay.
Yeah, and then to me, honestly, the other ones, they all rank just at the bottom. I don't know. Yeah.
I like
mechanically. So the other thing is solving it live in that environment before everybody had the solutions was so cool.
Really good.
Yeah.
It was so cool.
Easy now, but I remember playing the vault for the first time. Like, how in the world?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, honestly, were you talking about Last Wish Vault?
Yes.
I still don't really understand that encounter.
Left and right.
That's where
your symbol appears.
Yeah. No, I know. I just don't understand how I still can't. If someone was, I kind of have, like, let's say I have half my brain wrapped around it. But if someone was like, Sean, you're assigning like a Penumbra and Antumbra to platforms, I'd be like, okay.
Not left or right, guys.
Yeah. Good luck, everybody.
I can read the symbols. I can run the ball. I kill knights very well. And I understand that what's happening is we're calling out each other's symbols. And based on the symbols, we are figuring out which platforms are Antumbra or Penumbra. But like, I get confused.
Oh, dude, I didn't even mention Leviathan. Like, I forgot that Leviathan too.
Leviathan was fun the first time.
Leviathan is under Edo of Worlds for me.
Yeah, I don't think too.
I don't think Leviathan's very good. I just think it's way too mechanic-y.
Yeah.
Way too mechanic-y.
So everyone's cheesing Riven now, understandably, because you don't want to do the whole process. But the whole
rocket cheese is fun.
Yeah, the whole thing one side telling you which eyes to shoot and the other team has to listen. And then you go back and forth. I think that's so cool.
That is.
In Destiny 1, I remember I've always said, like,
Atheon.
I think it's cool if two teams of three split up into a maze and they had to, like, help each other out, which is essentially what Riven is. Like, you have to call out the eyes. If you mess up once, it's a wipe.
I think that is really cool.
We had, seriously, running that week one, we had to be excellent. We had to be superb to get past that encounter. And any raid team that did it that week. And that was such a rewarding feeling. Just passing Riven. That was excellent.
It's crazy because people spent like 10 hours on Riven without getting to that jumping part.
Yep.
And then they get to the jumping part. They have no idea what's going on. And then they wipe on that. And it's like,
see you later.
Punch your monitor, dude.
Yeah. I really like how I like that there's actually phases in that. That was something I had always harped on with Destiny before, was like, none of their bosses had phases. Cause I come from,
World of Warcraft.
Yeah. Where you'd fight a boss and the first like 10 minutes of the encounter would be 100% to 80% or to 75%. And then once you hit 75%,
something else would happen.
Brand new mechanic. Like the boss starts acting totally differently. It's a new phase, right? And then it would happen two or three times throughout the duration of the encounter. That's the first time I've seen them do it extensively in Destiny. Yeah. And what do you know? It's like one of the best encounters.
Yeah. That's why I hold Last Wish at a really high level.
Yeah.
Sean, you and Andrea still talk, right?
Yeah, we talk. We're friends, of course. We
hung out outside the office.
Yeah. Just checking. That's all we have time for this episode. Thank you guys for listening and joining us to talk a little bit about the review. This is my last episode for the year.
Oh,
I'm definitely not going to be back next week. And then I think we're all kind of on vacation till January. So we're going to be going on a little bit of a hiatus unless CJ decides to do one next week or the week after.
Maybe. Do you want us to do one? We could. Steven and I and Sean, if you're around next week, we could. If
Wednesday's my last day.
If you guys can figure it out next week, that's all you.
I'm
going to visit my mom and my grandma.
Destiny for Destiny.
Another comments episode.
And my dad.
Let us know in the comments below if you want another episode.
There you go.
Yes, of course. Also,
comments episodes are good.
Yeah, comments episodes are good. Speaking of comments, leave in the comments, rank us in order of shill number, because I want to see how high I've climbed.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah. Rank us in order
of
shill number.
Who is the greatest shill?
Yeah.
Put Fran in there as well.
Seriously, if we're going to do a comments episode next week, we should leave in the comments below what you want us to talk about.
Let us know if you want us to talk about a specific topic.
Yeah.
All right, well, that is it for this episode. Thank you guys so much. And until next time, Guardians out.
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, the Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.